Welcome to Sorted, a podcast for creatives by creatives. I'm Emma.
And I'm Alex. So get your coffee ready and let's get sorted.
Welcome back to Sorted. We are diving into all things AI today. We are going to talk about how AI can help you as a creative and as a business owner. It's kind of a hot topic right now. And so Alex and I thought it would be kind of interesting to do some research, talk about the things that we're already using in our business, but also do some research on things that maybe we can also adapt into our business. So we are excited to chat about these new softwares, some of the things that we're using, and just kind of how they can better your business.
And quickly, just as a disclaimer, as creatives, we understand the scary parts of AI and the worry that it can cause for our jobs. But we believe it is important to adapt to the future and not get left behind. So there are a lot of amazing tools that can help and not hinder. Also, one more disclaimer, do your own research when it comes to AI and copyright. These are just our opinions and what we found based on our research. And so we are going to link some of our resources in the show notes, but there are many more out there.
So first off, we're going to talk about the foundation for these platforms and these apps and these resources that we're going to talk about, and that's generative AI. And so what it is it's software that uses complex machine learning models to predict the next word based on previous word sequences or predict the next image based on words describing previous images. So that's kind of the foundation for a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. A lot of AI comes from kind of AI's been around forever, but these things that we're going to be talking about today are kind of generated from the same software that, has been around for a while. So the first kind of use case that we're going to talk about is copywriting or editing. And this mainly revolves around these large language models, which are algorithms that perform a variety of natural language processing or NLP tasks based on what open source code that Google has developed. And they developed this code back in 2017. And so it's kind of been around and kind of developing, but it's kind of recently come into these platforms that are being used and talked about more. So the kind of the one that everyone knows about, and I think the one that has gotten the most news and most talked about, is ChatGPT. So this is a platform that you can, give it a prompt and it can shoot text back to you. There's a lot of features with it. You can pay for it. There's also a free model. I believe that the paid version is like quote unquote better. But one thing about ChatGPT to know is that the model is based on information that it's sourced from the internet in 2022. So that it's not good. You can't ask it, it's very interesting. If you ask it about current events, it won't know the answer. It will say sorry, I don't know that. My information's based off, older information. Or if you ask it about someone that's become famous recently, it won't know that person because it's based on older information from the internet. But it's ever evolving. There's new things coming out all the time. I think last week something came out where you can now speak to it like Siri. You can ask, have a conversation with it. It's a little crazy.
Whoa, that's kind of...
This is just one of them. There's also Claude, which is my favorite. It's just I like it because it's a little bit more aesthetic and a little bit easier to use. And then also there's Palm 2, which is Google's version. And so with all three of these, what I like to use them for is I like to use them for generating ideas for blog posts or creating outlines for these things. With Claude, it's really nice. You can upload PDFs. So a lot of times I could take a transcript from a podcast and upload it into Claude and ask for points or interest points or action items. Something else is you can take transcripts from meetings and ask for action items. So there's a lot of things that are useful for these, these platforms that aren't necessarily just writing a full, a full blog post or things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I actually have a couple of writer friends who use ChatGPT and other resources like that out there, which it's kind of the first time I heard that I was kind of shocked, aren't you scared? But then you do your research and you understand where it can help and not hinder, or it's not going to take your jobs away. A lot of the writers that I've talked to, they like to use it to just help generate ideas, not necessarily write an entire blog post for them, but help them create an outline, help them create certain bullet points that they should hit on. But essentially, it's not a human writing this. And so you have to make sure that you don't let that robot kind of take over. It needs to have personality. It needs to have uniqueness. So again, that's just another example how it can help you and not hinder you.
Yeah, and a great use case is Grammarly. A lot of people use it and don't realize that it's actually like an AI-based feature. But Grammarly is really helpful for, you know, making sure that your writing's staying in line. So it checks your grammar, it checks punctuation, and it checks like tone. You can have it check. If you pay for it, you can have it. It will tell you like, oh, this is like seeming like, do you want it to sound more professional? Or it's really nice for when you're writing emails or like you're writing a hard email and you just need like some help with, you know, coming across more professional or like, you know, asking a client for something that's kind of a hard ask. It can be helpful in those cases. Another use for AI that, you know, this is where I think as designers, it gets a little bit more scary, but photography and imagery. So this is like generating images, generating graphics, editing images and things like that. And so kind of the first thing that comes to mind with these is DALL-E, which is the creator of ChatGPT, OpenAI. That's their text to image model. And then there's also Midjourney, which again is just another art generator from text. Something I did want to shout out is Michelle from the guest from our last episode. She has a really great episode on her podcast called Kiss My Aesthetic that is all about, if you go back, I think it's probably like 10 episodes ago, that's she interviewed someone that's like a AI image artist. And so talking all about how to develop these text, how to develop text for these image models. And I think that if you haven't played around with these, it's really, you're like, oh, like, you know, these are going to take people's jobs. But I've played around a lot with these two things, and it is really, really difficult to produce an image that you're wanting in your mind and actually produce that image. Like, you have to learn, you have to figure out what descriptions work, what text works to get these images that you're wanting. I think that is something that like a lot of people overlook. They think it's just going to be like really easy to get the output that you're looking for, but you really have to like learn and curate and like kind of, it's like a skill that you have to hone. And then a few kind of within this space, Alpaca is another Photoshop plugin. We're going to talk a little bit more about Adobe AI, and like those are definitely things that Alex and I are more, I would say, more adapt with and actually use within our businesses because they're kind of already built into the programs that we're using. But that is another option for Photoshop. And then another really cool one that I've played around with is called Chroma. And it's actually a like AI color generator, and it helps you compare color combinations, browse. And something that's really cool about this one is it's actually enhancing the ability for us to make accessible color palettes and check compositions, check contrast, check all the things that a lot of times designers kind of miss is that like accessibility element of color. And making sure that it's readable for all individuals. So that's kind of a neat use case of this and something that like, you know, that's not something that the average natural eye of a designer, you know, can check. There's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, these are going to be accessible, and then I'll put them into an accessibility check and I'm like, oh shoot, like that actually needs to be 20% darker or whatever, you know, whatever change. So that's something like a cool use case for AI.
Yeah, and going back to the images, kind of developing out the images based on AI, again, like Emma said, you have to be careful because sometimes we'll talk about this with Adobe Firefly in a little bit, but if you type, you know, I want this person to be holding a baking utensil and have cake all over their face, you know, like if you need a very specific image, it could very well give that person 7 fingers on each hand. And, you know, it could like mess up the image a lot. I know that I've had that happen where I go to look for a certain stock photography image that I need, like a very, very specific, like a monkey riding a skateboard on top of a mountain. And it will just totally butcher it. So sometimes it's super helpful, but then there are other times where it just completely butchers it because it's not perfect, like Emma has said before. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing to do your research on and get really deep with those details.
Yeah. And then two two like use cases that I haven't used, but some research we did was for web design and then also for photographers. There's some really cool stuff being done here that can really help you in your process for wireframing, for SEO, for, you know, different things that photographers are doing, like editing images and different things like that. But these are a few of the software options that we found for these things. But so for web design, and we'll also mention these all in the show notes because I'm going to butcher these names because they're all like funky tech names. But UIizard, I think that's how you say it. It's a web and interface mockup done by AI. So I believe, I didn't dig too much into it, but I believe you can take like a sketch and it will mock it up for you, which is really nice. And, you know, provide like a place to drop an image and a place for text, and it will fill in like the Latin filler text and stuff like that. Then there's Fronti, which is an image to HTML CSS, which is so cool. So you can upload your own wireframe and it will produce the HTML code based on your draft. So this is really neat for designers that are wanting to like code in some more custom fun stuff that you can mock up.
That is crazy.
Turn into code.
Yeah, that makes me want to try that one.
I know. This one's really cool. This one I bookmarked and I'm going to definitely try for myself and like some of my web design clients. But it's a SEO Diddy. That's, again, we'll mention these in the show notes because I am butchering these names. But it's AI SEO. So it helps you produce SEO descriptions and tell you what's not correct about like a page. Like you can put a URL in and it'll tell you how to fix the SEO on the page, which is so helpful and so cool. And something that like I definitely will be using. And then for photographers, I found these couple. There's Lumiere Neo, which is like a AI image editing. So it's for like helping you edit your images. So it's kind of what I believe it does from my research is you can upload a set of images and it will give you like tell you like which images need to be like edited for like a closed eye or hair or like something's off. So it like culls those images for you. And then there's something called Topaz GeoPixel, which is helpful for increasing image resolution and changing image sizing. For, you know, when you have really large images and you need them smaller for the web, or if you need to increase the resolution of a low resolution image. And then Aftershot, which is a culling and editing AI software, which, you know, is really cool. I think what it does is it will pull, like, if there's like five images that are similar, it will allow you to like highlight over someone's face and it will show all the variations of their face and let you pick like the best one. So that's really cool. I think for like wedding photographers, that could be really neat with like great group photos and stuff like that. But yeah, so then the next thing we kind of want to jump into is Adobe AI. And it's definitely the area where Alex and I have used it the most and probably have the most knowledge.
Yeah, and I actually spoke at an Adobe event in September of this year and got to see back end of Adobe Firefly stuff and all the new stuff that's in beta and things that they are helping, that they are incorporating to Adobe to help its AI program. So Adobe Firefly, like we've mentioned, is kind of Adobe's specific AI. So the Firefly, all of the different features are in Illustrator, they're in Photoshop. So they're kind of across all of our programs, which is super nice. So we don't necessarily have to go out and use another program. I mean, obviously, I'm using ChatGPT sometimes, but for imagery specific stuff, it's really nice to have those already built into the programs that we use. So to name off a few of our favorites, text to image is something that is really cool. So it's basically generating images from a detailed text description. So Canva has one of these, I know, as well. So basically you can type, like I mentioned earlier, a monkey riding a skateboard on top of a mountain and it'll produce that image for you. Like I said, sometimes it's not perfect, but you can play around with the keywords to have it build the image that you want. Generative fill is a very important one for me, especially if you are used to in Photoshop, kind of doing that yourself and highlighting specific areas and building that in Photoshop yourself. The generative fill has a new feature that it can fill it for you and you don't have to select, you know, with like, I forget what tool it is, but You draw on like the image and it kind of generates the feel for you. So this does it for you. And it's really actually very accurate. I've used it for a magazine cover when I needed to extend the background. So it was this woman sitting on a chair and the background needed to be extended. And it wasn't anything super crazy. It was just like wall, but it had a lot of different textures. So if I were to use the clone stamp, it would like completely butcher it and make it look all sloppy. So that actually worked really well for me.
I think one of the other like best use cases for that is for banner images and websites. Like how many times have you worked with a client where they're like, I want this to be my banner image, but it's like not going to fit it that size. And so I think that generative fill for banner images will be like really interesting. I know that like we both use a couple different platforms, but I know like Squarespace is playing around with AI. And like, I think that that's something that's definitely going to come in the future is like generative fill built into like web platforms and like built into show up, built into Squarespace. Like that would be a really neat, like,
that's so cool. Yeah. I love that. Especially with Squarespace just getting so big now and like it's continuing to better their software, which is great. And it's so easy to build like truly custom websites versus what it used to be years ago. So some more cool Firefly features are generative recolor. So you can simply type in a text prompt and say, you know, I want this changed to warmer colors versus cooler colors, and it changes the entire artwork for you. Text effects, you can apply styles or textures to words or phrases, which is fun. It brings me back to like word art on Microsoft, like when we were in like middle school. Obviously, it's a
like make your text furry. It's like
yes. Yeah. Obviously, it's a lot better now, but that's just a cool full circle moment.
I love
Extending the image is another one of kind of those like generative fill, but it can extend the image to the aspect ratio that you need. Quick selection tool. If you're using these tools, you can easily quickly select elements in your photos. And so like Emma mentioned, these are going to be really good for things like banner images, if you need to extend images, if you're creating digital ads and the aspect ratio of a certain image just isn't working, cleaning up images, making them more fun, making them not so stock photography, I think is going to be very valuable because there's only so much stock photography out there. And so it's cool that now we can kind of take one image and really customize it to fit the specific brand, whatever that might be.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that something like with these Adobe features, like Adobe is made for creatives. And so it's not, I think a lot of times, a lot of the conversation around AI is taking jobs away or, doing things better than, these programs aren't doing it better than a designer can do. Like they don't have that natural eye for design. Like if you start playing around with these tools, you'll see like you definitely need to like play around with them, but they're just to like help make work easier. For example, like these Adobe items, like if you wanted to do like a brand flat lay, you can build a package design with, there's a really cool thing called 3D to image. So basically it's kind of like building blocks and it's really nice for package design where you can like put a cone and a sphere and like a cylinder and whatever and build your package and then it will generate that to an actual image. But you can do something like that. And then you can use generative fill to add, say that it's a package of something that is, cinnamon scented. You can add in cinnamon sticks and sprinkles of cinnamon and like leaves and things like that. Like it's a very, those are things that you could have done in the past and you would have had to get other photos and cut out the background and add them to the thing and add a shadow. And now it like can do that for you. But yeah, so then there outside of Adobe, there's a couple other like general business AI tools that we found and that we think are kind of interesting and helpful. The first one is something that I've used a couple times. It's something that one of my mentors started using, and I was like, this is so cool, but it's called Otter AI. And basically, it joins your meetings like on Google Meets or on Zoom as a guest, and it records your meetings and gives you a transcript from the call. And so what's really cool about this is you can take that transcript and you can run it through another processor. So you could add it to like Claude. I use Notion, and you can ask them to pull out the action items, ask like, what did I say I was going to do in this call? So I used to kind of take really detailed notes while I was on a call, and now I can be really present on my call and then get those notes immediately. It's not like it takes, I don't have to listen back to transcripts. I don't have to do it myself. It's all done for me. And that's a really nice, nice thing that that it takes away and I'm able to be more present for my clients. Another thing is Google Analytics has really added some AI powered parts to the platform. It helps you like track your website traffic, you know, user behavior, conversions, all that kind of stuff. It's really helpful if you're selling things on your website. It's really helpful to see, you know, bounce rates and things like that. I was already using it and it's kind of just like been upgraded basically. So it's definitely something to check out. And then, as I kind of mentioned, Notion has its own AI features now. You do have to have a paid subscription for Notion, but it's really helpful for, again, like that kind of summarizing of meeting notes or finding action items. If you have text in there, you can ask Notion to make it shorter or longer. You can ask it to change the tone. You can ask it to explain things. So like, for example, if you wanted to add an article, you could click explain this. There's also a couple plugins that you can do that for articles as well. Sometimes when I start reading an article, I'm like, this is a little bit too much, too fluffy for me. I'll use that tool to like just pull out the information. And then Alex mentioned earlier that Canva has some AI features. And so they have that text to image. What's something cool about Canva, and it's probably something that you can do in Adobe. I just haven't figured out. I haven't played around with it too much in Adobe to do it. But in Canva, if you do text to image, so say that I say, what was your example? A monkey on a bicycle.
Riding a skateboard on top of a mountain.
There we go. On top of a mountain. You can then change the style. So you can pick like painted or oil painting or watercolor or sketch. And it's like very, the Canva one's a little bit more like, not in a negative way, but dumbed down in a way that like it's just like clicking buttons. So it makes it a little bit easier and a little bit user friendly. So you're not having to do so much manual word addition and things like that. They also have the Magic Edit, which is like a spot corrector, the Magic Eraser, like a background remover and things like that, that are like AI powered. So they're just like really well done, that are kind of nice. So if you're using Canva, it's also something that like I try to inform my clients on that I use Canva. A lot of my clients, I will have me upload their brand guidelines to Canva and then use it for like social graphics and things like that. I try to use like Adobe Express sometimes too, but it just depends on the client and like if they have a big team and what they're already using and things like that. And then a few of the other fun ones I found that I haven't used, but that kind of seems interesting for client management was there's one called Frame. And it's like a productivity app, of, like a suite of productivity apps. Then there's Dito, which is a client reference platform for like sales for client like life cycles and stuff like that. And then one of the I tried to find some CRM tools, but one of the main one I found is called Zoho, and it's a CRM tool that can analyze customer data and provide insights into like your sales and marketing strategies. So this is a lot, and we kind of talked about a ton of different like resources and apps and things like that. But for Alex and I think the most interesting use cases are for sure. Helping us write copy, helping us write captions for social, helping us write blog posts or descriptions of things, because Alex and I are both very visual people, and so having help with the writing is amazing and something that's like definitely helped me run a more efficient business.
I agree.
Grammarly again is like a highlight, and also you know those trying to play around with those imagery, those text image models like DALL-E and Midjourney. I think it can be really interesting and really cool to help you provide cooler and better work for your clients.
I agree.
It's not taking over logos and this whole branding suite that we're developing, but it's giving us elements to use within those that just take it to the next level.
Because also when you insert a prompt into one of these that's like, make me a logo for XYZ, it's taking existing logos already and curating your logo. So essentially, it's just taking data that it has of logos that are already out in the world and creating yours, versus what we as designers are doing is we're creating logos based on our strategy, based on our research, and based on our own creativity. And the logos that we produce don't exist already. So that's another really neat kind of outlet to think of it. If it's something that kind of scares you, or if it's something that you're hesitant about, just think of it like that. And it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's only getting better, which is kind of terrifying, but it's one of those things that since it's not going anywhere, we might as well hone into it and see how we can use it to better ourselves and better our business. So these are just a few tools that we found when we did our own research, and there are new tools being added daily out in the market. So figure out what tools work for you, what work for your workflow. You can't do it all, and neither can we. So pick and choose what won't overwhelm you, but rather what will assist you. So we hope that you took a lot out of this. Please don't get overwhelmed. It's here to help. It's not going anywhere. So let's use it to the best of our abilities.
Yeah, we hope that you learned some things and take away a few of these tools. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.